Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets, joined once again by Scott Bennett and Ron Partain. This is a nice little round table. Thanks to Ron. Ron had the dream round table. We were going to have Scott Ritter, but he couldn't make it. We might have Alpha Warrior join us at some point. But gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in. It's always a pleasure to have both you guys individually, or in this case, in a round table.
Good to be with Mike. Good to be with you, Ron.
Pleasure. Pleasure's mine, guys. You all are some of the brightest minds out there. And then you know, combining in your knowledge of just the world events, but with your life experience, I mean, there's no better combination. You gentlemen are at the tip of the spears in terms of, you know, my perspective.
Very nice. Thank you. Thanks, gentlemen. So let's kick it off. Let's go a little bit back in time. Let's go back to pre-COVID-19. Basically, the Chinese are getting, or the Hong Kong people are getting a little bit out of hand for the Chinese. America, with Trump, is basically pushing back on the Chinese dominance and sucking money out, and then using that money to spread it around the world, control politicians around the world and governments around the world. So they came out with a bioweapon, basically, you know, to control people. And that came to America. And then, of course, we had the George Floyd, rioting, which kind of looks like the same thing that's happening again with the Palestinian, soon to come rioting, I believe. But, where do you guys see all of this going? You see Ukraine, you see, this new fake war that was created in Israel. What's going on?
I'll let Ron start us off.
Number one, you know, the first thing is I don't think that Americans truly have an understanding of what's going on, of the dynamic between Taiwan and China. You know, we have been taught really since birth that China and Taiwan are our enemies, and that China wants to dominate Taiwan, and that Taiwan wants nothing to do with China. But how much of that is their belief, and how much of that is the United States belief and the American people's belief? As I understand it, there's a fairly healthy and robust sense that those two actually might prefer to have unification as opposed to keeping segregation. I don't know the answer to that question, because that's not really my area of expertise, but I have heard some very compelling arguments, you know, within the last several years that, you know, hey, they actually probably would like to be more, they would actually rather be unified, more like very similar to like an East and West Germany type thing. That's one dynamic that I don't think people really take into consideration. And it's all because the history books in the United States could never be wrong. You know, as they say, history's written by the winners, but that's for an older generation. That doesn't happen today because we're all noble people, right? We don't engage in such chicanery. Right. History's always been written by the winners. And in my opinion, history is written by people with an agenda to cultivate a belief set and a mindset for their population to go along with what the government wants to do. That's my two cents.
All right. So they're trying to, we don't go along with that. And then they start these conflicts. Is that where you believe?
I think so. In terms of changing the mindset of people, there's nothing stronger than war. War is the number one mechanism used by the elite to have the most robust change of a mindset of a people.
Excellent point. And Scott, what are your insights? You're a well-traveled man. You've been to Russia. You've been to Iran. You know the mindset of the people. I've been to I've been to Korea. South Koreans are like, we want to be unified. We don't know why we can't be. But, you know, there's a lot of that going on, just like you were talking about, Ron. The people are like, we don't even know why we're not together. It's like, who's controlling this? What are your thoughts?
Well, you're identifying a trend, a psychological cascading trend, an evolution that you see reflected in the creation of the BRICS institution, for example. BRICS didn't just pop up because they wanted to create something. It popped up. It was created because the United States was attempting to strangle Russia and also China with sanctions. And when you start tightening the noose around their necks, they're going to go, okay, we have to find an alternative way in order to live. And they did. They created BRICS. And then before you know it, all the countries are running to join. There's a fascinating phenomenon that's occurring, and that is the departure from the West. And I equate it to a spiritual darkening in the West that's reflected in their adoption of the homosexual, transgender, LGBT, wokeism, political correctness, safe spaces, blah, 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 blah. All this garbage and this effeminacy and all of this corruption of the sexual core, the family and marriage, that doesn't exist in other parts of the world. It doesn't exist in China. I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Taiwan. I've been to, like you said, all over. And it doesn't exist. They're much more conservative in their family values, their sexual values. And I studied this as the beginning or the end of a healthy society. And you see America hardening and cracking and crumbling a better analogy is a sandcastle that's, you know, nice and sculptured, but now the rain's coming and the sandcastle is melting into a blob. That's what's happening to the United States. And you have patriot communities and groups like us and the audience that watches us that are solidly embedded in their DNA and their consciousness of the Ten Commandments, natural law, the Constitution, and they're not non-interventionalists. We've evolved out of the brainwashing of the 9/11 propaganda. We have to go over and hate them first because they hate us. You know, we have to go over and destroy them because they want to destroy us. Well, who said that? What? Since when? No one said that.
George Bush did. They hate us for our freedoms.
Yeah. And the Afghani Taliban, you know, were caused 9/11. They had nothing to do with it. You know, in Iraq and on, the destruction of the Middle East has turned the world against the United States, and it's taken a while, but that's what we're witnessing right now, I think, is the collapse of the institutions. And I don't go too deep into the why or the motivations. I just look at the facts. What are the predictive analytics that you can say, okay, this is what's going to be happening? And you see, I agree with you, China has been doing quite a miraculous job as a soft power nation. We've lost all soft power. Soft power is influence operations, psychological operations, extortion operations. That's what the Mossad did to the United States by getting people like Lindsey Graham on videotape with little boys and other things like that. That's what they do with Hunter Biden and on and on. That's a form of coercive soft power. But we've lost all that soft power. We've lost diplomatic ability. We're now this, crushing mailed fist that is looking to pound the world. Well, the other thing is America doesn't have the military that we did in the 1980s. In the 1980s, you'll know this well, Mike, you had a manly military, all manly. There were no women infantry or fighter pilots or anything. It was all men. And they came from healthy families, intact families for the most part in the 1970s and early 80s. And you had a different army, different Marine Corps. Everything was different. And you could fight two front wars and win. You can't now because besides the fact that they're all injected with the COVID-19 vaccine, which I anticipate when the Israelis go into combat, you're going to see a lot of people instantly die because of the heart arrhythmia that's caused when the adrenaline goes into the system. Yep. That's why athletes are dropping dead. The COVID-19 is going to wipe out a lot of Israeli soldiers the moment they step forward on their first boot into Gaza.
Amen to that.
A contractor died. in Iraq or whatever, when a drone attacked the base, he died of a heart attack.
Isn't Israel one of the most, didn't they have one of the highest
90%, compliance? I think.
Like 90, it was like 98% or something like that.
Yeah, and that's why they're saying, Mike Harris, one of my former CIA guy, it said they're going to set off a dirty bomb over Gaza. They're going to set off a nuclear sort of thing. Iran may respond with a nuclear thing against Israel that North Korea has given them. So this is about to turn into a real shit show. And the bottom line, Mike, is this: you've got Israel, Ukraine, and the United States on one side. And you've got Iran, Saudi Arabia, who are now friends, or at least they're not enemies. Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, all of North Africa, Pakistan, India, Russia, China, North Korea, all on the side of Palestine and the Palestinian people. China's got warships moving up into the Mediterranean. So the U.S., if it initiates a military issue, sending in troops or doing a fake Jessica Lynch rescue, which I anticipate, you're going to see Russian torpedoes that can travel halfway around the world and other S-500 missiles fired from Iran or Syria. But you're going to have the whole U.S. fleet sunk at the bottom of the Mediterranean, I predict. Because they're not playing around anymore. Russia's not going to play around in Ukraine. They're not going to play. They can't afford to have Syria fall. They can't afford to have Iran fall. The geopolitics is we either all stand together or we all, you know, hang together, right? Or hang together or we don't hang together. So they're going to guarantee that an attack upon Russia is an attack upon China, Iran, North Korea. And an attack upon North Korea is the same. So that's a hell of a team to go against, right? And we don't seem to have a clue. And I'll end it by saying I predict when they start the skirmish, they're going to use that to justify a martial law police state in the United States. And that's their real objective, is to crush and destroy and break down America using the hyper sensationalism of we're at war. And we all, you know, free speech needs to be stopped. And, you know, wokeism is the new religion. And anybody who disagrees needs to be put into an internment camp. I could see them doing that. The other front, of course, is going to be the invasion across the southern border. When all these third world immigrants come across the southern border, they're going to treat America like blacks treat a Target in Michigan. They go in and they rape and pillage and ruin the shelves and steal everything they can. That's what their military age young men are plotting to do in America when they come in and are unleashed. They're not going to work at a country club or a hotel. No, they're going to come and grab everything off the shelves that they can and rape and kill and pillage. And I emphasize rape, because these are savage banana republic, third world ignoramuses that can't speak their own language. And they're coming in our country with an IQ of 100. I mean, these are mad dogs. And the other dominoes, you're going to see a rise of patriotic militants in this country standing up saying no more, we're going to fight this, we're cutting off federal government influence, we're at war, this is a violation of a republic. So you're going to see a lot of internal domestic turmoil in the United States. Look at the Congress situation. They can't even get Jim Jordan elected, the most manly good guy that you would want as the speaker. You can't get him. That's the death of the Republican Party, and perhaps it deserves to die.
So there's a lot of I just saw Roseanne Barr last night. She's a great comedian, but she just started on a rant, and she just started saying, "Look, because she's Jewish, she's like, those of us that are real Jews, put that out there, do not subscribe to all those other Jews that are basically controlling and destroying the world." And then she just started dozens of people, said Mark Zuckerberg, Henry Kissinger, George Soros, Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, Janet Yellen, Anthony Fauci, and just on and on and on. I'm like, holy moly, finally a Jew is basically calling out the Nazis. So, and she even talked about that. She even talked about the Nazis. So there's a lot of people that are starting to wake up. And I was like, I've said that if the Jewish community finally starts to push back on who the bad Jews are, and they're already doing that now. She's a great example. She's a comedian. She should say what she wants, right? So it's happening. What do you think, Ryan?
You know, a couple of things. So, you know, y'all know that I'm pretty, I have some fairly strong opinions about, 1930s Germany. And, but, even with my strong opinions, I still do not ever plant a flag and defend that hill, you know, to the death, because I feel like there's so much information that has not yet come out that I don't know. And I am open to the idea that the Nazi party was one of the biggest, call it Jewish fakes out there that ever occurred.
Wow.
When you look at the Pike-Mazzini letter, my opinion of the Pike-Mazzini letter and all of this, the three world wars, that was all part of the Greater Israel Project. You know, when you look at the Israeli flag, you've got it's a white field with two blue horizontal stripes and then the Star of David. Well, the top blue stripe is the river, is the Euphrates River, and the bottom lower stripe is the Nile River, and basically everything in between. That was basically, it was all about the Greater Israel Project. And that was one of the reasons why Israel really wanted us to go in and invade Iraq in 2003, because they're trying to realize the Greater Israel Project. Well, and they have been very willing to kill their own people to do that. You know, I read the book, two books by a guy named Jack Bernstein, and one of them was an American Jew who migrated to Israel, and he said that the title of the book was My Life in Racist Marxist Israel, and then the second book was Farewell to Israel, The Thorn of the Middle East. And he told a story in there that was extraordinarily interesting, a thing that I had never heard. He said that during the 1973 war, which I think was the Yom Kippur War, he said that when the IDF was in contact with forces, either Israel, or excuse me, Egyptian forces in the south, or Syrian forces in the north, that whenever the Syrian or Egyptian forces would overrun a position, what they would do is they would take the IDF soldiers, and if they were Ashkenazi, they'd execute them. If they were Sephardic, they would render aid to these guys, take them as prisoners of wars, and feed them like they would the guards, treat them almost like brothers. Wow. So when I read that, my eyes like freaking bugged out of my head. I was like, oh my God. So even there, and part of the book that he talked about, because he was a as an American, he was Ashkenazi, but when he went over to Israel to migrate there, to live there, because that was the calling. Hey, there's now a Jewish homeland. All Jews of the world come to Israel and populate it. And when he got over there, he's like, man, this place is like communism. He's like, what the heck is going on? Lest we forget that Israel was essentially populated by Bolsheviks.
Hitler.
And, the Ashkenazi, a lot of people don't realize that in order to be Semitic, you have to be descendant from Shem. Well, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? So the line of Christ came through the firstborn, which was Shem. Well, the Ashkenazis are descended from Japheth. Therefore, there's no possible way in hell that they could be considered Semitic people, because they're not descended from the line of Shem. And they call themselves Jacob, which is, I mean, they call themselves Jews, just like, you know, what was it in Revelation, you know, synagogue of Satan, those who claim to be Jews who are not. And the people in Israel, the Semitic people of Israel, the much more of the religious people of Israel. I mean, Israel was on the cusp of a civil war not too long ago. And it was really these two segments of the population that were fighting amongst each other. And, you know, and I truly believe that there's a lot of good people in Israel, but there's a lot of the really bad people in Israel. And if you look at the Pike-Mazzini letter and you look at a lot of other things, I mean, they have been willing to kill their own. And that was kind of where I was going when I was talking about 1930s Germany and the perpetuation of, you know, the Holocaust and all this other stuff. They literally were willing to kill their own people in order to gain the land of Palestine for themselves. And but the Third World War in the Pike-Mazzini letter was all about the destruction of Israel and the Christians and the Muslims fighting each other.
And I don't see that. I'll tell you honestly, in my travels to the Middle East, yeah, I have had only affection and respect and a joy expressed to me when I speak in Iran or Lebanon or elsewhere. And it's authentic because I'm speaking as a peacemaker, and they recognize, you know, when I'll say, you know, biblical quotes and stuff like that. And I'll talk about vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. Mm-hmm. God is repaying what's been done to these Muslim peoples by the United States with the cursing of the United States. How in the name of God do you explain the LGBT transgender phenomenon plague other than that? It's
right.
A spiritual curse upon this country. Mm-hmm. And fat, lazy simpletons who squat in their churches and just swing on a hammock and think, oh, well, you know, we Christian Zionism, that other whole brainwashing thing. You know, the Middle East Muslim peoples are not antagonistic towards Christians. They come up to me, Mr. Bennett, what you're saying is in Quran, and they're delighted. Mm-hmm. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So I've been on Press TV. I'm on Iranian TV live. How many Americans do you have live on Iranian TV?
Right.
Not many, and they don't ever tell me what to say or not say. And I've said this is going to unite every Muslim country in person against Israel for its genocide actions against women and children. And it will unite Christians on the Muslim side because of the destruction of churches and our natural antagonism against genocide. And the other thing to watch, you see Ben Shapiro, you see Sebastian Gorka, you see all of these Jewish Zionist neocons who Trump was stupid enough to let into his cabinet. They are now on, you know, yelling and cursing at Americans, calling them cretins, calling them stupid if they don't see this war as their war. Meaning, right, if you don't send money to Israel, if you don't enlist in the military and go fight these wars, you're stupid. I couldn't believe the words I was hearing from Sebastian Gorka, but I thought, you're showing your true colors. And
amen.
Every American is going to see these Jewish Zionist Ashkenazi, Gorka's a Hungarian Jew, when they start spitting at Americans, Shapiro spitting at Tucker Carlson, Americans are going to go, whoa. And it's going to trigger a backlash against these Jewish Zionist neocons like we've never seen before. And I'll say this too. You don't see the LGBT homosexual rainbow flag gay parades in Tehran or Russia or China. You do see it in Tel Aviv, and you do see it pushed by Jews in America, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ACLU, and all this other stuff. I see traditional family values in Muslim people and cultures. I also see it in Sikhs and Hindus and Asians. But this whole Jewish push, well, that's where all of the corruption and the corrosion has happened in America. And I mean, we can go on and on the treason, but I see a backlash coming. And I could also see the Mossad doing the same thing that they did in Iraq. They set off false flag attacks in Europe and America, claiming to have been done by Hamas. And it's Jewish Mossad doing it. And
that's right.
Sebastian Gorka also said, I didn't know this, Sebastian Gorka said he was an expert witness at the Boston Marathon bombing.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. He said he was an expert witness. I said, aha, you son of a bitch. So he was saying, I was an expert witness, and I explained why the Sanarev wrote in blood in the boat, and they set off the bomb, and I saw necks being hacked. I did, too. I saw a lot of that stuff, and it ain't fun. But Gorka and these other Jewish neocons that are near Trump were the ones who completely lied about Boston, about the all these attacks, Charlie Hebdo and all this stuff, to whip up this anti-Islamic warmongering. And I'll tell you this too, if Trump gets on this bandwagon, which he's stupidly done, as well as Marjorie Taylor Greene, Rand Paul, Jim Jordan, all of these people in Washington have suddenly, oh, we'll send all the money we're going to send to Ukraine now to Israel. This is going to be the destruction and the death of the Republican Party, because the American people are going, are you out of your minds?
Yep.
We are right. We're done with that for 20 years, and you think you're going to go and spend this on another war? It's going to be a backlash in America like we've never seen, and I see us getting our asses kicked like we've never been kicked before by Russia, China, and Iran in the Mediterranean, the expulsion of CENTCOM from Qatar. All of these Muslim countries are united like never before. And we're gonna have to watch to see. Go ahead.
I wanted to share this. I wanted to share a picture here real quick. Let me do this here. Share screen.
The other thing to mention, Mike, while he's bringing that up, is the Nakba. People need to know that the Israelis, the Jews, when they went into Palestine in 1947-48, they were blowing up the King David Hotel by the British. Rahm Emanuel's dad was part of that terrorist group. They went around and killed all the Palestinian men and sent all the women and children to Gaza. They were Nazis. That's what the Jews did in Palestine, and they've been doing it ever since. And
I saw a show where Scott Ritter talked about the Havara Agreement, and I did the research on that. I was like, whoa. So it's like Hitler started, you know, the Jews into Palestine, because they were having problems from the Jews around the world. They're like, you know, we don't like, you know, the way the, you know, Hitler and Germany's Nazis are going. So to assuage them, he's like, I'm going to like send all of the, we're going to send Jewish immigrants to Palestine. And that's kind of where, you know, it came from. The Nazis basically started Palestine. And now, Ron, you had a really good term for ISIS. And I heard you say that on Nino's Corner when you were talking with him. I want you to share that. What is
Israeli Secret Intelligence Service?
And when I was in Pakistan, we had John McCain come through, and he was going to basically supply weapons to the Syrian counter, you know, insurgency against, you know, the regime there. And then we see pictures later of. Because I worked all over the place in the Middle East for the CIA. And I remember going back to Iraq. And, of course, al-Baghdadi was a real problem. I was like, why don't we take this guy out? Like, what's going on? It's very interesting, because now Bibi says that Hamas, which was formed by Israel to fight the PLO, formed for Israel purpose, you know, to fight the PLO. And now we have Bibi saying, oh, you know, we just found ISIS flags among Hamas. It's like, oh, you found Israeli intelligence flags there? It's like, okay.
Right. Well, can you guys see the poll on my screen here?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Okay. I saw this earlier. Oh, my God.
When I'm looking at this, you know, the 65 plus guys, those are the guys that are the television watchers, right? Mm-hmm. Their mind is made up based on what they're seeing on television. 50 to 64, probably a little bit of that, but you're starting to get into the people who are still on the internet. 35 to 49 and 18 to 34, that's the vast majority of those people. They're getting their news not from the television, but more from you know, things that they're seeing on the web, social media, and whatnot. And you know, we are seeing a shift in support for that little sliver of land in the Eastern Mediterranean. You know, and people are starting to wake up to the realities of what I think the true nature of what they were supposedly, you know, what they were created for. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're really trying to rush and get this thing done. It's like, we got to do this while we can, while we have at least some semblance of support, because the support is starting to wane significantly.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just, I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. And so
I think
John McCain was actually, they released a video, John McCain with Al Baghdadi.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of the, you know, the big Nazi system of the US, China, and, you know, there's elements throughout the world, I think, that are basically, you know, the Schizieri mafia type that have infiltrated the top branches of the political class. Now, when we go, obviously, I think the Soviet Union at one time was basically part of their control system. And then the Russian people rose up and threw it off. So that's what we need to see around the world. So we're seeing that in that poll you're talking about right there. People are waking up to this lie. Now, my concern is they're going to use that to fire people up to like start to riot and cause problems. And then the military is going to move in and shut down the cities. And I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you know, a friend of mine was in Texas who did a January 6th film, Chris Begard, and he was with a veteran in the Texas Guard on the Texas border issue. And he said, Scott, a National Guard woman, you know, came. The National Guard stepped in after the Texas Guard were doing operations and stuff. And he said, I never thought I could be convinced that American soldiers would put their guns against other Americans until I saw this female National Guardsman who stepped in and started trying to take command of everything, tell us what to do, nasty, you know, all this. And he said, this was the National Guard, not the Texas Guard. And I thought, you know, you've got a woke military. You have angry feminists, you know, anti-white, anti-Christian, lesbian, sexual, schizophrenic. Their whole mindset is about destroying the traditional values and families in America. You see that when they go to the, you know, Charlie Kirk college campuses, you see some of the most disgusting, demoniac lunatics. You know, wearing wigs and pretending they're women and stuff. It's very significant because they're in positions of the military. And I could very easily see them being mobilized to go after Trump supporting conservatives and, you know, call them domestic terrorists. And I think here's what's going to be a trigger to that, Mike. They have gagged Donald Trump in two courts. The most recent one was the judge, the guy who, you know, showed his face and they criticized him for smiling. I can't remember what his name was, but that man gagged Trump, said he violated the gag order. I said all this was going to happen and charged him $5,000 and said any more and you could be fined and including being imprisoned. They are going to say he violated a gag order in the future. They are going to throw Donald Trump in prison, and I think they're going to kill him and claim, oh, he just died of COVID or something. But I predict the left is not a political party anymore. It is a cult. It is a cult. It is a Bolshevik, revolutionary, woke group of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde madmen who are so full of hatred of themselves that they're consumed with lust and violence. And they are going to wage a destruction revolution in America like they did in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You know, the Black Lives Matter, that mad fury. They're going to unleash that and pretend it's, you know, I guarantee you they're going to throw Trump in jail. They're probably going to kill him. And then they're going to set off false MAGA people to set off, oh, MAGA is going ballistic because Donald Trump died. in a jail cell, and now they're causing revolution and sedition like they did on January 6th. So now we've had to break out the National Guard, suspend all elections, confiscate rights until, you know, the new chancellor is put in. And people have actually talked about Chancellor Obama being appointed. This country is about to go off the cliff in a way that we've never had the imagination to see. Now the question becomes, what are the Patriots going to do? I think they're going to rise up, and you're going to inevitably have a civil war, a revolutionary war, a Renaissance war, an English civil war. We've had civil wars in society for thousands of years. We're about to have another one, and you're going to have Patriot, especially if there's a fiat currency crash and all this other stuff starts popping, and they assassinate Biden too and put Gavin Newsom in. You're going to have Patriots rise up, and I think you're going to have a bloodshed like we've never seen before as they take control of their communities. That's the other thing. The continental United States is probably going to break up into controlled regions and factions. New York is going to be a shithole. Chicago, shithole. Oregon, Portland, shithole. But you're going to have other parts of America that say, okay, we're done with all this wokeism and all this left. No, we're not going to give jurisdiction to the FBI, ATF, or anything like that. And finally, remember when they imprisoned the Japanese in 1942? The Supreme Court ruled later that was unconstitutional. When they come and try to imprison or put into a camp an American Christian or a Trump supporter or a conservative, that's when people stand up and say, no, you don't have the authority. It's already been ruled unconstitutional when you did it to the Japanese, and you're not doing it to us. No, you're not going to force us to get a COVID jab or do a registration or take us off and put us in a camp or something like that. I predict that's going to happen too. People are going to stand up on their grounds and defend, and you're going to have bloodshed. I can't see a way around it. Not because conservatives want to, but because the left has become so fanatical, they are incapable of stopping and reasoning. Probably because they've been lobotomized by the COVID-19, but they're incapable of stopping and reversing, which means it's going to be when a mad dog starts coming in your backyard to get in your window, it's time to go out and kill it. And I think conservatives are oiling themselves up for in preparation for that.
I agree. Well, you know, conservatives are the hibernating bear. All right. We do not want the fight. We don't want to fight. We know what war is like. We don't want to participate in war. But they're going to push and push and push and push and push. And when when that hibernating bear comes out of its slumber, you are not going to get that bear to go back to sleep until the threat is gone.
Yes.
Yeah. And you just take the registered gun owners in any state, just about. I know definitely in Texas and Florida, and just in one of those states, there's more gun owners than there are by far in the whole military.
Do you know what state has the most registered gun? Do you know what state has the most gun owners in it than any other state?
Registers Texas. No?
Vermont.
California.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's not a leftist state.
Liberals better watch out there. Better go hide in those cities.
Hey, Huntington Beach, the county of Huntington Beach declared it was a jab-free, mask-free county.
Wow.
They're not getting jabs and they're not wearing masks in Huntington Beach. There's a lot of conservatives.
California is the reason I know this is because 25% of registered gun owners in California don't vote.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I understand why. They're apathetic. It's like, what the fuck do they vote for? It doesn't do any good.
And unless our system changes, I'm done with voting. It's like, it's useless. Everybody's like, well, you gotta make an effort. It's like what the last few times didn't teach everybody the system broke. Come on. So,
Scott Ritter, actually, I was watching one of the interviews that he had done. I think he did it on Redacted, and he said something in there that I wanted to ask him about today. And he said that the Israeli military is terrified. They're weak.
Oh yeah.
They're not as good as the as everybody thinks they are, and they are terrified. And I wanted to ask him about that, but since since he's not here today, I'm going to ask you guys if you have any idea what he meant by that.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, the Palestinian people and the Lebanese people and these other people that have been tortured, brutalized, raped, and pillaged, and had their mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and sisters killed or imprisoned by the Israelis have quite a swelled up, boiling rage that's been growing in, you know, for generations. And they've been waging war against oppressors. And this animates their consciousness. Israel, if you've got a 90% vaccination rate, that's the other thing I've said before. They're all going to just fall down dead or be debilitated. They're not combat ready, and they're policemen. And Ritter's point was these are all conscripts that have been put in place that have had, you know, like you have a 2-year service or 1-year service or something, and then you go and you live your life in Tel Aviv and the gay agenda or Israel or whatever. But these are hardened warriors, have nothing to lose. In fact, they've been so maltreated that they're itching for a fight, and they have all of their underground tunnels, and they have all of their weaponry from Iran, Turkey, and all of the Muslim clerics are going to be giving calls to jihad, saying if you go to Gaza and fight, you will get to paradise, you will avoid the torments of the grave, which is the key to recruiting a lot of these hopeless young Muslim men into becoming suicide bombers, because they're taught they get a free ticket to heaven. They avoid the torments of the grave, which is a sort of an agony purgatory in Islamic tradition. You avoid all that if you go and fight in jihad and blow yourself up. You instantly get 72 virgins and 9 prepubescent boys. So that's the next dime to drop, is the religious justification for going to war. So Israel is afraid because it can't endure urban warfare. It's incited the entire Muslim world around it. America is broke. America is not going to get behind this, and no European country is going to get behind it. And you've got Russia, China, Iran, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria. You got the whole Muslim world now preparing to go in and defend women and children. And the worst public relations war Israel could ever do. And they're incapable of looking at this with a detachment and a reason. They're incapable of backing out. So I think they're going to go all in, but yet they're going to lose the entire poker game as a result.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I've been to all the surrounding countries of Israel. And if they really wanted to, they could take Israel fairly quickly. So I agree with the assessment. Ritter was talking about, you know, how they basically bombed the hell out of that place. It's going to be difficult to drive anything in there. That's the stupidest thing. I was like, why are they doing that? They should go in there right now and go house to house and clear. And, you know, of course, you got underground. There's ways to handle the underground stuff. So you got to do all of it. They're not trained for that. The last time they went up against these guys, I think up Lebanon or something, they got spanked pretty good, and they backed
2006.
off. 2006. There you go. That's it. That was it. And I was like, I can't believe these guys just got spanked and no one sees this. They're not any better now. In fact, they're way worse. Like you just talked about, Scott, they're all vaccinated and their wokeism is strong there. And, you know, for 19 weeks, I think it was, they basically were protesting to get rid of BB. And that's why they started this war.
Yes.
So they, you know, when all this fails, they're going to take you to war. And that's what they did here. And, you know, that they're not getting support. Americans are not on board with this at all. And Europeans are like, screw you guys, you know? It's not looking good for them.
The other piece to watch, and no one talked about this, but the Russians exposed it. The Russians exposed that the U.S. was transferring all of its biochemical weapons laboratories from Ukraine down to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
When they reported that, that's when this war kicked off.
Oh, wow.
What are they doing now down in Africa? Are they going to try and genocide and wipe out, you know, the North African Muslim nations or whatever? But that was significant. The U.S. biochemical labs from Ukraine are now being moved down to Africa, probably Africa Command.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it was right there. virtually all of the countries that were right there along that sub-Saharan African line, you know, Chad, Niger, Sudan or Northern Sudan. I mean, all that area right in there. I mean, it was like one by one by one by one. They were all having coup d'etats. And
French colonials, yeah, out.
Yeah.
Niger. I've been to all that area too. Their French are not liked. They're not liked at all. And I'm surprised it took this long, but yeah, they kicked them out. America was like, let's back them like we did in Vietnam. Like, and they're like, no, you guys come in, we're gonna beat your ass too. So it didn't happen. So America's in a the Nazis of America are in a bad position right now. They're losing everywhere.
Well, the European Union is gonna collapse. The euro is gonna collapse. Yep. Over Ukraine, I've said it before, Russia, if they're smart, will make a peace deal with all of the individual nations of European, Luxembourg, let's make a deal. We won't invade you. You don't invade Russia, and we'll live happily ever after. Finland, Sweden, France, Belgium, all these European countries. There is no European Union. And I was born in Scotland with Scottish family. They despise the continental Europeans. Mm-hmm. Ah, they're a bunch of boy lovers. You know, there's a militancy, there's a tribalism in every European country. Nobody likes the French, nor do they like the Germans. There's too much, stoicism. But you're going to see all of the European Union countries kind of slowly break off their detachment. And, the thing that happened in 1933 in Germany was they said, okay, we're done with the debt. There's no more debt. We don't owe anybody any more money.
Right.
And McGregor had addressed this, and he said they took off like a skyrocket after they did that. America could do the same thing. Okay, we're done with the debt, and we don't owe you any money. Now we're getting back. No labor laws, no child, labor laws. If your kid wants to get out of this faggot school and go to work at 12, 13, 14, like we used to do in America, so be it.
Right.
And, all resetting our society according to conservative, biblical, natural Ten Commandment laws. Getting government completely isolated. I see a besiegement, if not a complete crumbling of the fall of Rome in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole country would be resurrected, in this going away from the digital currency, but going back to a 1776 mindset and capacity. And we can.
1,000%.
If I was the governor of California, I would do exactly that. Okay, anybody brings in illegal immigrants, they're getting shipped back or put in jail, and you're getting the death penalty. Oh, and I'm weaponizing and deputizing every citizen to man our border. This is a time of war, and we have to respond in a warm mindset.
You know, Scott, I want to echo what you just said, and I have said multiple times that there is precedent for us as a country to come back in a rapid fashion. And it was set by 1930s Germany.
Yes.
It was set. He literally hit, Hitler gave us the template for how to successfully do it. And when he implemented that template, that was when all of his problems really began. And it wasn't that he went after the Jews as much, it was the Jews went after him.
Yes.
I mean, if you go back and you look at the headlines, Judea declares war on Germany. And what did they declare war on Germany for? Hitler kicked out all the communists out of the government. He kicked out all the communists out of the government. And now the Jews of the world organized a boycott of German exports. So, I mean, who started that? Was it the Jews or was it the Germans? And then you talk about the Havara Agreement. Hitler, this is one thing that I have a very difficult time reconciling. And I'm not saying that I'm right or I'm wrong, but, Hitler was the first major Western leader to implement animal cruelty laws. You couldn't use animals for testing and drugs. You couldn't harm an animal. It's hard for me to reconcile how somebody who has that mentality is going to also have the same mentality of utterly annihilating a people by means of torture and whatnot. I just have a very difficult time reconciling that. That doesn't mean I'm right. That just means that it's a difficult thing for me to, like, I have a hard time putting those two together in the same sentence.
Let me add one thing to you. Jim Fetzer wrote a great book on Auschwitz and all this. And little do people know, Auschwitz was not the extermination camp. You had a brothel there. You had a library there. Mm-hmm. You had a dance hall there. You had a British rugby or a British soccer team there. The history has been totally rewritten by liars, and you know, the reality of Hitler or World War II and Germany and all that has been totally corrupted. Mm-hmm. So it was a good documentary, Europa. Ken O'Keefe and I always talk about this. So, you know, there's a lot of propaganda that's been out there that I think is all kind of slowly falling away because of the internet. And as it falls away, the Jewish neocon Zionists are going to go more hysterical, which is only going to confirm to the more pacifist conservative personality of the American. Ah, they are liars. They are fanatics. They are warmongers. Look how they're freaking out. Look at the Sebastian Gorka, who's so calm and so erudite. But then when this happens, you're all cretins.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, okay, dude, you just shot yourself in the foot.
1,000%. These, I want to share this too. This is something that I'm going to share this here real quick here. Da, 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 da. This was from an 1879 letter.
Oh yeah, I saw this. Yeah, good.
The Jewish people as a whole will be its own Messiah. It will attain world domination by the dissolution of other races, by the abolition of frontiers, the annihilation of monarchy, and by the establishment of a world republic, which the Jews will everywhere exercise the privilege of citizenship. In this new world, the children of Israel will furnish all the leaders without encountering opposition. The governments of the different peoples forming the world republic will fall without difficulty into the hands of the Jews. It will then be possible for the Jewish rulers to abolish private property and everywhere to make use of the resources of the state. Thus will the promise of the Talmud, not the Torah, not the Bible, the Talmud, be fulfilled, in which it is said that when the Messianic time has come, the Jews will have all the property of the whole world in their hands. Now, you will own nothing and be happy, anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we're seeing that now. And this is such a great conversation. So Karl Marx grew up in a Jewish family. So it
he
is
was Jewish.
It's all being exposed. So it's the same thing. The people who write history were like, oh, he denounced it and he didn't like it and blah, 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 blah. No.
Karl was a Jew, and so was Stalin. Stalin was a Georgian Jew.
Ukrainian Jews. A lot of them settled in New York, and they helped fund the takeover of Russia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, I went back and if you go back and you look, it was the Bolsheviks who, even though they hadn't come to power in Russia at the time, they were still doing actions in Russia prior to the 1917, what they call the revolution, which really wasn't a revolution at all. It was an invasion. But as I understand it, they were the ones and the money that was behind them was the ones that was that had inaugurated the event that led to, you know, the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand, that led to the war that led to World War One, which was, and if you listen to I don't know if you guys have ever gone back and listened to the 1961 speech given by Benjamin Friedman at the Willard Hotel. He was in the Woodrow Wilson cabinet, and he saw everything firsthand. And he talks about how that whole thing was designed really to cultivate, the Balfour Declaration. There was not one shot of anger fired on German soil in World War One, yet they lost the war. Really? They didn't give up not one shred of territory, and yet they lost the war. That doesn't make that make sense to me.
Yeah. So this goes back a long time. So these Khazarian Jews have been exposed, you know, way back in medieval times. I was looking at Edward I basically expelled all Jews from England because of their nefarious activity. They're even talking about back then, and we've heard and we've maybe discussed some of this, that they were eating babies and drinking their blood. And I remember reading that many decades ago going, wow, those guys really hated the Jews. They like made all that up. But now we're hearing that. Yep. It's like, wow, even Roseanne Barr last night talked about it. She's joking about it, of course, but she threw that out there as well. You know, they're like, you know, eating babies and drinking their blood and, you know, Democrat Party, blah, blah, blah. It's like, whoa.
Right. Well, you know, and this takes me back. I want to readdress something that we talked about in terms of, you know, the template for getting our country back fast. You know, yeah, I remember that Trump had come out and this was just after DeSantis had, you know, launched his campaign. And he says, well, you know, one of the reasons DeSantis, thank you, was saying, hey, vote for me, is because I can have 8 full years of unimpeded, you know, and Trump's like, 8 years, who needs 8 years? All I need is 6 months. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, I know that there's a lot of contention. There's a lot of people who question Trump and a lot of the things that he did during his administration. I have an idea that Trump knew exactly what he was doing, and that he probably was operating with a little bit more information than we had, and thinking a little bit more of a in terms of a long play. And I feel as though that he, everything that he did was calculated for effect, even if it wasn't something that you and I would have done with the information that we had. I think everything that he did was calculated for effect, and I could be wrong, but I'm trying to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt here, because you know, you art of the deal. I mean, that guy is a master at getting, you know, stealing victory from the jaws of defeat. He's a master at doing that. And
you know, let me just add one point though. He's in a life-threatening situation now.
This is true.
A judge can do anything they want. They have full discretion. And when a judge says, I'm gagging you, you can only appeal it to the Supreme Court, but you're gagged until they render a decision. And then they can say, you violated the gag order, I'm putting you in jail. And then he is in jail. Unless there's a war, revolution, Secret Service, and Patriots that rise up and burn the courthouse and kill the judge, he's thrown in jail, and that's where they can kill him. Ice bullet, toxic injection, poison in the bologna sandwich they give him. He's in jail, and I know how it goes. I've been there. I know how they operate. And when I saw them doing this to him, I thought, you're either the dumbest son of a bitch, or you know this whole thing is, I can't see any virtue in this position, because unless the judge and this whole thing is set up, but they've got him in a position where they can assassinate him, and then you've triggered, you know, the opportunity for revolution and rising up. Even though they'll use mercenaries like they did on January 6th, they're happy to dress up a bunch of guys in MAGA hats and say, we're going to gain vengeance for Trump.
Right.
And, you know, that justifies Merrick Garland, the FBI, the ATF, the CIA to all, you know, act like they're Nazi stormtroopers and, you know, or IDF, and we're all Palestinians, you know, and Americans are ready for a civil war, because they're tired of seeing their kids taught a bunch of bullshit from teachers. Well, maybe you're transgender. Maybe you're a girl. Maybe you're a boy. Maybe you can be both. Why don't you run in a girl's race or swim in a girl's swim meet? You know, these sort of things are what the average American is swelling up to rise again. So this thing that Trump has done, and all this too, I'll say quickly and end it. Sidney Powell taking a plea deal. She's not going to get up there and just answer, you know, the prosecutor's going to answer anything. That prosecutor's going to sit her down and give her questions, and she'll have to answer exactly as she did in a deposition or else. And the judge will throw Sidney Powell in jail. This whole nonsense about testify and you're only going to get 6 years probation. No, the judge is going to say, I don't agree with you, prosecutor. Yes, I'll accept the deal, but I'm not going to give her 6 months probation or 6 years probation. I'm giving her 6 months. I'm giving her 9 months or 12 months or 11 months, but she's going into jail.
Right, hard time.
Guarantee you they're going to do that.
Right.
What's your final words, Ron?
I'm not going to. I have absolute confidence that Scott knows what he's talking about. So, those aren't words that I really enjoy hearing, but I mean, I can't refute that.
Well, let me just say real quick. I know Sidney Powell. If it wasn't for me, and Mike knows this, I think you do too, Ron. I was the one who gave her and Joe Flynn all the information on Covington and Burling that were representing Mike Flynn and going to stab him in the back. Sidney Powell called me, and I gave her all the information on Covington. She went to the Department of Justice and said, I'm going to bring all this stuff up. And they said, we're done. We're dropping all charges. That's why Michael Flynn is free. Not because he could fight like a Flynn. He's a moron and an idiot and a bureaucrat in uniform. I was the one who set his ass free. And Sidney Powell knows it. And I'll tell you one thing. If they pick a fight with Trump or start stabbing in the back, I'm coming in like right of the Valkyrie and laying out all the stuff that I know about Sidney and Flynn and Byrne. I was there. And so was Pat Burgee. And I won't go much more into what we've been talking about and doing, but make no mistake, all of this will come out, and what they did to Trump will be known. So they're not going to escape anything.
Yeah. Almost 2 years ago, you guys came out and just like laid it all out and just destroyed Flynn. I can't see why he's still around, but you know, people are waking up in their own time. So that's one of the things.
Behind a lot of the operations, Mike. He's been behind the Clay Clark thing. That's why he didn't want me talking at the Clay Clark event. Clay Clark is a little faggot pussy because he said, oh, I don't want Scott Bennett there. And Clay Clark called me and said, oh, I can't have you come. And the same with Jeffrey Prather. And I know these guys. I know Tony Schaefer, too. He's a dirtbag. Flynn, Schaefer, Prather, dirtbags and traitors and idiots. They all ran around the 9/11 thing. Oh, it was real bullshit. So, you know, people we've ever come across have been in the military. Some of the best people, too, but not these guys. So, you know, they've been behind groups like American Media Periscope, as far as I'm concerned, a big Mossad operation, in my opinion, trying to control the narrative. Oh, well, Trump had to give all these people injections and warp speed. Bullshit. That whole thing with the jab and the vaccine, it will turn out to be the greatest crime against humanity that we've seen in a thousand years.
Yeah, that's coming out now.
I interviewed Melissa McAtee, who was the Pfizer whistleblower, and you know, I took a little bit of a different stance with her because of my understanding of manufacturing and whatnot. And off air, and I'm not saying this in a braggadocious way, but off air, she was like, you know, she's like, your interview of me was one of the best that anybody has ever done because you knew to ask the right questions. And one of the things that she alluded to was that there's no way in hell that they could have manufactured a vaccine in that short of amount of time. She said, you know, for good manufacturing practices, what you have to do is, you know, you take all of the ingredients and you write down how much of this ingredient you used, because you're actually making the raw, and you're making the formula right there based on raw ingredients. And what she said was, what they did was they sent in from some anonymous place, they sent in things that were already like pre-done and pre-mixed things that all they did was they were just an assembly line. They weren't
in Ukraine.
What's that?
They did it in Ukraine.
Yeah. They was an assembly line. Everything that they had was just putting two pieces. That was like putting two or three pieces together of stuff that had already been created. It wasn't a, they weren't actually making them at the vaccine here in the United States. All they were doing is they were assembling two or three components that made the vaccine. That was it.
Yeah.
So there, she said, there's no way in hell that they could have manufactured the vaccine and the quantities that they did in that short of amount of time. There's just no way.
Yeah.
So it was already done.
Awesome. Yeah. There's a lot of things are being revealed. And I think the Patriots we're right there. I think that we're going to basically see something this fall. I think that, you know, we're going to have some kind of good Christmas, but it's not like it's the end. It's not like, okay, we're done. It's going to take years to clean these guys out. I mean, look how many, like we're talking all the way back to the 1200s. These guys have been like coming in and inserting themselves and doing crazy shit. So it's going to take a while to like root them all out, but it's coming. It's coming, and it's the justice will come for them.
And it's not going to be polite. It's not going to be gentle.
No.
It's going to be the drill sergeant coming in, you know, in the drill sergeant way, driving people out, driving them to their executions.
Right.
And you're going to see heads on pikes. You're going to see people hung publicly. You're going to have people shot. Mm-hmm. You're going to have all this stuff unleash, you know, from forced vaccination of your children. And suddenly you discover your little boy is dead. Little girl is dead because of the vaccine, or they can't have children, your wife, and that all this stuff is going to be coming out.
Yep.
And it's going to have a reaction of violence that we've never seen. You know,
there's a channel that I follow on YouTube. The gentleman goes by the name 2A, the number 2, 2 Alpha Cops. Okay, so 2A Cops. That's his channel on YouTube. And he is, you know, he's been talking about since he was active duty law enforcement back into the 90s. And he said, look, you know, they've been telling us for the last 30 years that there have been sleeper cells in the United States. So, and Hamas is involved in this. And so he said, the one thing that you guys need to be is you need to be armed at all times, and you need to have a rifle in your vehicle, and you need to be able, and a handgun is going to allow you to get to your vehicle, to get to your rifle. You need to be ready at all times, no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. And wow, I guarantee you this, if it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what draconian law and what draconian laws are there. If you are going to be an active participant in defending your country, then you know what? I mean, do what you will, but there's going to be needs. There's probably going to be a need for us to disobey certain things that are on the books in order for us to survive.
That's why I brought up the Japanese internment. It was unconstitutional. That means it should never have happened. It had no power of law. When they do this thing with the COVID-19 vaccine and forcing people, trying to force people in the future, oh, there's a COVID-20, you know, there's some new pig virus or something like that. You need to go to camp number 7. No, it's unconstitutional. And if you try and enforce it, I will arrest you as a citizen's arrest. And I may kill you with lethal force if you resist my citizen's arrest in defense of my rights. There's a case back in 1907, I think it was, some American Indian resisted arrest and killed the cop trying to arrest him. And they said, no, it was a justified defensive killing because the cop had no rights to arrest this person. That's what we're facing. And I predict a lot of these cops are going to be stupid and on the wrong side. And I'm just obeying orders. You got to come with me. No, you're going to be dead. Mm-hmm. And consider that a mercy that I'm warning you. And some people aren't just going to warn them. It's going to be open season. If cops, and I don't like saying it, but if cops think they can treat Americans like IDF treats Palestinians, you got a big shot coming.
Amen to that.
They're going to put up with it. And they have no problem killing destroyers of their rights. We took an oath in the military to preserve and protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The domestic enemies are cops or judges or ATF or FBI or any agency or any personnel that tries to put a gun in your head and come into your house or come into your car or take your gun away or take you to camp number 7 to get a vaccine or anything else. Those are domestic enemies. So the citizen's arrest is a powerful instrument. And the court case that ruled, no, you can't put a person in jail because they're Japanese. You can't put a Trump supporter in jail because they're a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, the Supreme Court also ruled you can't put a needle into someone's skin or take breath out of their lungs if they don't want it.
That's right.
My case, that same logic, the Supreme Court said it is the integrity of the human body which is at stake here. And the state cannot mandate drawing of blood. They can't put a needle into you. And that same logic applies, although they've never heard a case and argued it this way, but that applies to no man or woman can ever be forced to get a needle stuck into them. So it's the misinterpretation of law that if cops and people start, you know, doing, oh, because it's 9/11. Oh, we all have to make sacrifices, you know, like Schwarzenegger, you know, screw your freedoms, right? When everyone's saying, no, I'm not getting an mRNA shot. Screw your freedom. That hostility, that violence, that venom, where is your mask? That's going to come again. And when they come, that's when I think patriots aren't going to, they're not going to have a conversation. They're just going to start punching like Rocky Balboa until that enemy is put down and not getting up. Like you said, the hibernating bear, when that wakes up, it's going to be like the scene from The Revenant when Leonardo DiCaprio is getting tore up and shredded by the grizzly bear. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the liberal Democrat, Leonardo DiCaprio, and we're the grizzly bear.
All right.
All right, gents. This awesome conversation. Scott, where can people find you and your promo?
Go to destroy-cancer.com. That's our new anti-cancer supplement that we're selling, which is working wonders for people with any kind of cancer, skin cancer and stuff. I also got my links and my videos up there. So destroy-cancer.com. And you've got our sites, globalfreedomtv.com. And shellgamewhistleblower.com.
Nice. Sweet.
And Ron, Untold History's Rumble?
Untold History, my channel on Rumble's Untold History. And then, you know, another thing that I've been doing is, you know, my Detoxicream, detoxicream.com. It's a product that helps remove heavy metals, but it also, according to Karen Kingston, you know, she's the one who found the patent that, you know, whether you've had the vaccine or not, if you have, if you've been exposed to hydrogel, the hydrogel, some of that nasty stuff, and the EDTA neutralizes the hydrogel. And wow. I offer a product, an EDTA topical that, you know, that you can apply as a lotion, like almost on a daily basis. Like it's just, you can just use it as a supplement to your, instead of using lotion, you can use this. It's just like a moisturizing cream, but it's EDTA rich, and that will help neutralize some of the hydrogel that is some of the nasty, nasty stuff that's out there in the, you know, it just in the ether. And you don't have to be vaccinated to have the presence of hydrogel in the body. It is something that is, it's in our food supply. It's, and it's in shedding and whatnot. So, and that's at detoxicream.com. So.
All right. Awesome. Awesome, gents. Great products and, great websites and shows and so forth. You guys are amazing. Thanks for coming on, and look forward to having you guys on in the future.
Oh, thank you for making this happen. Sincerely appreciate it. And good to see you, Scott, as always.
Good to be with you, brother.
Very good.
Indeed.
All right. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you guys next time.
Look forward to it, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.